Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
If your food media diet is fueled by HRN, become a monthly donor today. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every day on the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi, ramen, izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. My guest today is Kazuhiro Sakurai, the fourth generation and CEO of Asahi Shuzo, which is the maker of Dasai Sake. You may have heard of Dasai because you can find it in many bars and restaurants worldwide. Also, Dasai has appeared at important events. For example, when Barack Obama visited Japan in 2014, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe gifted Dasai Sake to the U.S. president. And Dasai's success didn't happen overnight. Kazuhiro and his father, Hiroshi Sakurai, shifted the corporate philosophy drastically, and since then, their new innovative approach to sake production has inspired the entire industry. So today we'll discuss why Kazuhiro decided to join his family business, despite his earlier decision not to, and the unique philosophy behind Dasai Sake, Dasai's upcoming sake brewery in New York, why Kazuhiro opened a Dasai tasting space with the late chef Joe Robichon in Paris, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. And I have a quick announcement. Heritage Radio Network, or HLN, has just really revealed a new cool logo. It's a unique logo with a creative use of negative space, and we are very proud of it. And our website has been also renewed and even easier to navigate. So please go visit heritageradionetwork.org and check them out. Also, when you visit our website, please consider becoming a member. HRN is a not-for-profit organization, and we are in the middle of the summer fundraiser. We need your help to continue our weekly production of Japan Eats and 40 other shows. So please click on Support HLN on HLN website and become a member. Thank you for so much for considering it. And thank you for being great listeners. So thank you. So let's start a conversation with Kazuhiro Sakurai. Hello, Kazuhiro-san. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Akiko.
I'm very excited to have you. You are really a very important person for the sake industry, and it's not just in Japan, but in globally. So first of all, where are you from, and what did you eat when you grew up?
Yes, I was born in a small village deep in the mountain at Yamaguchi Prefecture. It's in the east of Japan. That's where our sake brewery is located. And I grew up out there. At my childhood, my mother cooked dinner for the sake brewers. The sake brewers work in our brewery, and my mom cooked for them, and I ate with them. I remember that most of the meals were seafood, such as sashimi, for all the brewers.
Mm. So that means you grew up in a very decadent environment. You ate sashimi and maybe you sipped some nice sake to taste when you were younger.
Yes, very sake.
Right. And so you're the fourth generation Masai Shuzo, which produced Dasai, like as I said earlier. So when did you join the family business and why?
Yes, I graduated from university 20 years ago. And I actually had no intention of joining the family business at that time. Therefore, I was working at another job. But after drinking sake, made at my own brewery at one restaurant in Tokyo. Then I felt that my sake had a future. And I went back to my family, my sake brewery, 16 years ago.
Wow. So it's funny, right? Unless you leave, you didn't realize how great your family's sake was. So, yeah, that was an interesting discovery. But, it's just fascinating. I mean, what if you didn't have that sake, right? You probably did something else. So, all right. So what is the history of your company, Asahi Shuzo?
Our sake brewery has a history of about 240 years. And about 70 years ago, the Sakurai family, my family, took over the business from another family. And now I am the fourth generation.
Right. And I heard that Asahi Shuzo has transformed itself dramatically from a small brewery with 10 employees to one of the most successful sake product producers in Japan with over 200 employees now. So how did Asahi Shuzo manage to make such a dramatic change?
The main reason is that we changed our brewery policy from making cheap sake efficiently to making only sake that we believe delicious. This change was initiated by my father, Hiroshi Sakurai, the third generation. Our sake gradually changed from cheap table sake to Junmai Daiginjo. And over the next 10 years, all of sake produced by our company was converted to Junmai Daiginjo from cheap table sake. And the company became a sake brewery specializing in producing only geisha sake, which was accepted by customers. And that made the brewery so big today.
Right. Yeah, so I saw that there used to be the cheap sake producer, like you said. It's called like a regular sake called Asahi Fuji, I think.
Asahi Fuji, yes.
Right. And then there used to be like sake used to be like to drink and get drunk, but now it's about sake to taste delicately. So, yes. It's amazing that, you know, you have very innovative products. So we're going to discuss shortly. But another reason I think Dasai is everywhere in the world is that you really made efforts. And I heard that you spent a lot of time in New York to educate your potential customers by splitting your time in the U.S. and Japan. So how long did you work in New York, and what did you learn from the experience?
I spent about 3 or 4 years traveling back and forth between Japan and New York every other month.
Wow.
So 1 month in New York, so 1 month in Japan and starting making sake.
Wow.
My goal was to introduce our sake and convey direct information from the brewery to the customer and make them fans of Dasai sake.
Right.
The reason of our sake spread to New York was not because of my Salesforce power, but because the customers who became fans of Dasai, then they spread the circuit to many other places. Customers introduced our circuit to many restaurants.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, that's amazing. So, right. Well, I yes, heard yes, that... Was, go ahead.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, they are the very big supporter. They were big, very big supporters for us.
Right. So I heard that one of the sake breweries, the great sake brewer, I tried to get into the American market, and then the sales was left with, you know, one of the big distributors in New York, not a Japanese distributor, but the major American distributor. And because the sake is not so well known, and then it's such a big company, the company really struggled to sell sake, to actually penetrate into the American market. So having you personally as a salesperson, and owner of the brewery, it's just an amazing investment. And I think not many breweries has done it before. So it's such a forward-minded brewery as Aishuzo is. It's very impressive.
Yes, most of the brewery don't president or a brewery owner didn't go to United States, but on at that time, only I was the people from sake brewery. So,
right.
Yeah, it is very good for us.
And also, I heard that you actually personally visited bars and restaurants and retail liquor stores. And then without appointment, you just visit and try to sell that size. So it's just... kind of American success story to me. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So so what is the sake making philosophy of Asahi Shuzo?
Yeah, our philosophy is actually very simple. Make good sake. It's our philosophy. And to achieve this, we use everything. So whether it's the latest machines or traditional hand technique, we use both to make good sake.
Right. Well, it's easy to say, but hard to do. And obviously, you succeeded in doing making wonderful sake. So we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we dive into Dasai's innovative yet very authentic sake. So please stay with us.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. You may have noticed that we have a whole new look. We also launched a new website that's going to make your listening easier and more enjoyable than ever before. HRN is the original food podcast network. And as we enter a new chapter in our 12-year history, I want to ask you to invest in HRN for the long haul. If you rely on this show to fuel your food media diet, become a monthly sustaining member today. Our members keep the voice of America's food movement alive and kicking. Your donations support this podcast along with 40 other shows on Heritage Radio Network. Your contribution helps give HRN the security we need to stay on the airwaves throughout the pandemic. And your continued support is allowing us to reopen our studio. Plus, we like to give our regular members special treatment. So sign up to become a monthly donor and get access to our secret menu. We've gathered together exclusive discounts and offers from some of your favorite food and beverage brands. So you get to enjoy insider pricing on goods that will ship right to your door. Join our community of monthly donors, and special deals will come your way throughout the summer. So, can you make a gift of $5 or $10 a month? It'll show me and our whole team at HRN how much this podcast and food radio in general means to you. Become a monthly sustaining member today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese. I'm your host, Aki Katayama, and my guest today is Kazuhiro Sakurai, the fourth generation and CEO of Asahi Shuzo, which is the maker of the famous Dasai Sake. So let's talk about your products. I heard you only make Junmai Daiginjo. So for listeners who are not familiar with Junmai Daiginjo, the Daiginjo is a very refined type of sake, which is Daiginjo. By milling down rice grains to at least up to 50% to express the pure flavor of rice. Also, Junmai sake means it's made only with fermented rice as opposed to being added distilled natural alcohol. So there's a good reason to add distilled natural alcohol for like a texture and the stuff. But so it means that it's a very pure, sophisticated style of sake. That's Junmai Daiginjo. Anyway, so my question to you, Sakurai-san, it's so why do you only make Junmai Daiginjo?
Yes, because Junmai Daiginjo is the easiest way to express the kind of sake. We believe it's delicious. Actually, we love sake, very pure and clean taste and fruity aroma. The Junmai Daiginjo can make these kinds of aroma and taste. That's why we make only Junmai Daiginjo.
Right. Well, okay. So that's the expression of elegant, pure flavors. Because by milling down sake, rice grains, you kind of remove outer protein and fat that could add some more elements, right? So, but then the question is, you know, you really have to use good ingredients to make great sake. So, and then you only use Yamada Nishiki rice to produce sake, which is known as a very difficult sake variety to grow. Also, you have your own rice fields of the Yamada Nishiki rice grain. So why do you use only Yamada Nishiki?
Yeah, my father tried many kinds of variety of sake rice, but the Yamada Nishiki is one of the best for the taste and aroma of our sake. It's a very necessary part of sake that we believe delicious.
So how do you describe Yamada Nishiki flavor?
If we use Yamada Nishiki, we can make very sensitive and soft sweetness. Not too strong taste, but very soft and sensitive sweetness and very fruity aroma.
Right. So then as a result, how do you call the style of Dasai sake?
Style of Dasai sake? We think our sake is, in my image, it's very elegant and sexy.
Sexy. Yes. So, okay. So what do you mean by that? It's like, I definitely understand elegant, but sexy is something to ask you to want more, or how do you describe that sexiness?
Yes, sometimes in Japan, we describe sake for like masculine or male, or sensitive like females. For us, our sake is image of our sake is like a female. It's very soft and sensitive, not too strong.
Right. Yeah, okay. So like for example, if you just compare that style of sake with wine, so like big and Cabernet, like Californian, very tannic, high alcohol. That's kind of more like male style. Versus female style is more like Pinot Noir, like very soft tannins and kind of like mellower. So, okay. I didn't know. I mean, the listeners didn't know. I mean, and in Japan, they say josefu, dansefu style, and it's like a male, female. That's a very common expression, like you said. Okay. So, and then let's talk about the example of the saisake. So you produce very innovative products without losing the authenticity of Japanese sake. So good example is your Junmai Daiginjo Migaki 2割 3分, or in English, it's Dasai 23. It's a mind-blowing sake for its level of rice milling rate. So 2割 3分 means, majority of sake rice, sake grain is removed. Only 23% of the rice is remaining. So it's a bold milling rate. Could you tell us why you made Dasai 23?
Yeah, at first, when my father created Dasai 23, we started from a business point of view. He wants to make the most rice polished sake in the world at that time. However, it became our flagship sake because Dasai 23 had a deep taste without any muddy, unclear flavor due to the polishing of the rice. So we love that taste. It suits to our desire.
Right. And I heard that, I read something about this whole history also. And at the beginning, you planned to make 25% remaining milling rate, but you heard that somebody else was 24% milling rate, so you decided to make it 23%, and then so that person who was milling the rice was just exhausted, but you just convinced the person. So to reduce that 2% from 25% to 23%, it took the person for over 24 hours. So it's just amazing how strategically you're persistent. And I hope he's still there working for the company. Okay, so then how do you describe the taste of Dasai 23?
Dasai 23 is a very, very clear taste. We remove almost all of no good part, impure part of rice. So the taste is very pure and have sensitive sweetness, but it's long finish.
Because
you can feel the sweetness very long time, but not strong.
That's the opposite of what you'd expect, right? Because nothing, almost like nothing less, it's only the good starch of rice in the middle of the rice. So you would think that it's going to disappear very quick finish, but then it lasts longer. So that's very magical. For listeners who are not familiar with or like very, lower milling rate sake, you taste definitely like riciness on your nose, but I tasted Dasai 23. It's so clean and elegant, and it's kind of magically addictive too, because that subtlety, I want you to drink more and more. So that's very right. So another product that's very impressive is Dasai and Beyond. So could you tell us what it is and what's special about it?
Yeah, I think that the name Dasai Beyond comes from the idea of going beyond the Dasai brand. Of course, Dasai 23, beyond the Dasai 23 and beyond the Dasai brand. Every time we make beyond. Actually, we try many, many styles of making sake and do logical experiments. And we actually we make 2-3 batches a month. But every time we choose only one from them, yes. Only small part of them. And if we love this, if we recognize as the best quality, we will produce this sake as Dasai Beyond.
Okay. So what is the Beyond part? What's the technical difference?
Yes. The rice polishing ratio is less than 23%. But we try every time polish more and more. So every time we change the rice polishing ratio, and we every time change the brewing method to make the best, to find the best style for the quality or condition of rice. So we change every time for Dasai Beyond.
So it's really how much you can express the potential of Yamane Nishiki sake rice.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And I heard you use centrifuge to make some of your sake labels. So how does centrifuge contribute to the quality of sake technically?
Yeah, we use centrifuge machine for pressing sake, separate sake leaves and clear sake. Mostly we use Yabuka pressing machine for separating sake leaves and sake. But by using centrifuge machine, we can extract the most delicate and pure flavor from the sake after fermentation. If we use pressing machine, the power is sometimes too much, and we take too much taste, and sometimes it's not 100% pure. So we use we press only best part to take Dasai centrifuge by using centrifuge machine.
Right. Wow. So it's all about purity. How much you can purify the flavor of sake rice. I think that's Dasai's all about. Yeah, if I was born as sake rice, I want to be processed by Dasai to become a sake. So I heard that also your sake production is based on highly digitized data, and it's the opposite of the traditional sake style. So which relies heavily on the brewmaster's knowledge and experience for years and years. So how do you compare these modern and the traditional style of sake production?
Actually, we use both of technique, traditional technique and high-end technology. Actually, for us, neither modern sake brewing nor traditional sake brewing is the most important thing. For us, the only important goal is to make the most delicious sake. So we mix everything, data, experience, cutting edge technology, and everything else.
Right. Yeah, that's very important because I think what you do is very inspiring, but a Japanese tradition continues, and a majority of sake producers they have very forward-minded attitude now, but yeah, it's just I'm so glad that you combine the two, tradition and the modern technology. Okay, so Dasai's innovative mindset extends outside the bottle. So you collaborated with the late very famous French chef Joel Robuchon, And in 2018, you opened Dasai Joe Robuchon in Paris. So what is the concept of Dasai Joe Robuchon and why did you open it?
Yeah, the purpose of creating this restaurant is to expand the possibility of sake. This restaurant is a collaboration with a great French chef, Monsieur Joe Robuchon. He loves our sake, and he contacted us to make a collaboration restaurant with him. And so naturally, you can enjoy the pairing of French cuisine and Dasai. Yeah, actually, in overseas market, people still have a strong image that sake is only drink with Japanese food. So, and we want to change that image. That's why we collaborate with Monsieur Joel Robuchon and pursue the possibility sake with food all over the world.
Right. Yeah. So Monsieur Robuchon was really famous for being a fan of Japan and Japanese food culture. And I think he was one of the first chefs who introduced sake to their own cuisines. So the Japanese sake has very distinctive umami elements, which is abundant in food. So I think it's a key component to pair food with Japanese sake versus, I mean, sometimes wines, I'm a big fan of wine, but acidity of white wine or tannins in red wine tend to be very challenging. So you have to be very careful in pairing food. But sake is very hard to fail, right? I can have like a bottle of sake and I almost can get away with any problems in food pairings.
Yeah, especially vegetable food is very good with sake. Monsieur Joel Robuchon said that nowadays French cuisine uses many variety of vegetables. And sometimes it's difficult to pair with wine, but sake is very good with pairing with vegetable food.
Right, and nowadays more people are more vegetarians and vegans, so I can see more sake to be drunk with those vegetable dishes.
Yeah, we hope.
Right. So I heard also that you've been building a sake brewery in New York, which is very exciting. So what is the state of the project and what is the goal of the New York brewery?
Yes. Now we froze our project for the last year due to the heavy impact of COVID-19. But we restarted construction in June 2021, this year, and last month, and start making sake maybe around the summer of 2022.
Wow.
Actually, the goal of this sake brewery is to make the best sake possible in a United States environment.
Wow.
Actually, the environment in United States, like water, air, and humidity, and everything is different from Japan. So we don't want to make the same taste as in Japan, but we want everyone to drink the best sake we can make in United States. We can do our best in United States.
Wow. Well, that's very exciting. So are you going to distribute the sake only in the U.S. from that you make in the new brewery in New York?
Actually, we sell our sake in United States, and also we export our sake from Japan to United States. So U.S. people can enjoy both.
Right. Or maybe you're going to export New York sake to Japan, which could be interesting.
Yes, maybe in the future. But maybe first stage, we won't be able to make amount of sake. So we limit to U.S. market, maybe. Mm.
Okay. And also another interesting point about this project is that I heard that you were invited by the Culinary Institute of America, which is called as, you know, the CIA and Harvard of the culinary education. So is that true? Like CIA wants to work with you for educating students about sake?
Yes. They invited us to New York for making sake brewery. So now Japanese food culture is expanding more and more. So CIA wants to study Japanese food and they collaborate with some cooking school in Japan. And they also want to study about sake. So that's why they invited us to make sake brewery in New York. Mm. And now we are collaborating to make sake class for CIA students.
Mm. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so well, please keep me posted. I really want to know what's going on for that aspect of the project too. Okay, so so COVID-19 has been very negatively affecting the sake industry in yes. Japan. And you courageously placed an ad in the leading Japanese newspaper, Nikkei Shimbun, to call for more reasonable government strategies for regulating restaurants and bars industry operations. So I heard that the industry and Japanese consumers supported you very strongly. So for listeners who have not read the ad, what are the issues about the ad and what do you think should happen?
Yeah, at the time of this ad, Japan had and actually continues to have a ban of the servings of alcohol beverage in all kinds of restaurants all over Japan as a government measure. And actually, the not drinking sake, not drinking alcohol is not very effective for COVID-19, but they stick to this just government measure. So we believe that if the situation continues, the restaurant business will not be able to survive. Mm. So we call for a change in policy, taking into consideration the number of infected people, the style of restaurants, and the status of infections disease control.
Mm. Right. Well, it doesn't make sense, but I think my guess is that if you don't let people drink sake, they don't stay in the restaurant too long. So they go home earlier so that they don't mingle too long and they don't spread the virus. But I heard that the data said it's not, the restaurants and bars are not the big major source of COVID cases. Yes. So yeah, it's just frustrating. And also, I mean, there are many other different ways to control the spreading the cases. So, well, it's very frustrating from looking at what's happening in Japan. From outside, but hopefully,
yeah. We hope the situation will change.
Mm. Right, and the vaccination is going pretty fast and well, so we'll see. So how have you been coping with the pandemic by yourself as a shizo? Because it's not, you know, the restaurants are closed, bars are closed, or like limited operations. So how are you doing?
Yeah, actually, our brewing amount decreased And last year, we make 80% of the amount of last year. But the most big issue for us is we have to protect the rice farmers, because if we use very special sake rice, and only special rice farmers can make Yamaganishiki rice. But if we drop the amount of sake rice we were buying, because we were producing less sake, if we do so, they could go bankrupt or stop growing rice. So we want to avoid such a situation. So we make various efforts to protect rice farmers, such as selling sake rice as food rice, eating rice, or using sake rice as a raw material for ethanol for hand sanitizer. We make we use many styles. We use Yamaganishi rice for many styles last year.
Right. Well, yeah, like we discussed earlier, Yamaganishi is a very tricky rice and it's hard to grow. I think they tend to fall because they grow taller, something very difficult.
Yes, it's very difficult to, yes.
Right. And then not many farmers wants to grow Yamaganishi, and that's why it's such a premium rice. So, yeah, so, well, I'm glad you are supporting farmers, but hopefully, really, this pandemic is going to end sometime soon, because it's not very sustainable for you and for the farmers. So, but upside of this whole thing is that I heard from New York distributors, actually two of them told me that during the pandemic, American people started drinking sake at home more than before, which means that people now understand you can have good sake at, more reasonable price. I mean, drinking sake at the restaurant is completely another level of experience, but there are two routes that you can get good sake. So hopefully after this whole thing, people are going to start drinking good sake. So that's my hope.
Yeah, I think so. Many people start to buy sake from internet. So sometimes people who live in not countryside, they can't have a chance to drink. They don't have a chance to drink good sake. But they can buy sake from internet, good sake from internet. So it's very good chance for us.
Right. Yeah, it's like living in New York, it's almost common that almost every single liquor shop carries one or two labels sake, but it's not the case in the majority of the country, for example, in the case of US. So, but speaking of, where can we buy Dasai sake outside of Japan?
Our main sales channels are liquor stores and high-end food supermarkets. That's a familiar with handling sake. And we don't sell not so many liquor stores, not so many supermarkets, because Junmai Daiginjo sake is very sensitive to high temperatures and sunlight. So it is important for us to explain them to how to store or how to control temperature. So how to protect from sunlight. So sometimes we don't sell to many supermarkets or many liquor stores.
Right. Yeah, it just changes the whole thing, because I think ideally from the door of the brewery to your table, they should be refrigerated properly.
Yes.
That's right. So, but I heard that you can, to get that style for listeners, I mean, we have like 190 countries, you know, listeners in 190 countries, thanks to you, all the listeners. So right now, I heard it, that size is available in US and EU, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and so over 25 countries in the world. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
All right, so what are your plans and or dreams? I heard that you want to make Japanese sake to be enjoyed when you start traveling to other planets, even like Mars.
Yes. Now, at the first stage, we were very small sake brewery in countryside of Japan. Then we start to selling our sake all over Japan. And now we are selling our sake to more than 25 countries all over the world. So we believe that very delicious sake can overcome the borders and cultures and the countries, everything. So we try to make our sake better and better. So every time we make better sake than yesterday or last year. And we want to introduce this delicious sake to all over the world. Luckily, in COVID-19 period, our exporting sake to overseas has become a big part of our business. And our overseas sales have become larger than our domestic sales in Japan. It's a good chance, and we'd like to export more and more for all over the world.
Like you said, now the internet is really making everything much easier.
Yes.
And I heard it's a kind of a joke that, you know, Mars can be the place to grow like some plants, strong plants like the soba plants, the buckwheat plants that can grow very fast, and then they can probably sustain with a little bit of water or something like that. So maybe you can distribute. Oh, actually, just Bezos of Amazon is flying to the space, I think, next week. So you can give it to Dasai and he's going to sell it to everywhere in the universe.
Good idea.
Right. Okay, so where can we find your updates online and social media so that you can discover more of Dasai innovative mindset and amazing products?
Now we have our Instagram and Facebook. So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook by searching Dasai_International. Dasai International. So you can find our information.
Okay. So Dasai is DASSAI and Dasai International.
Yes.
Hey, great. All right. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kazuhiro-san. I know it's very late in Japan, so I appreciate your patience too.
No, it's I really enjoyed this conversation. Yes.
Yeah, me too. So please come back. All right. Yes. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short picks of guests, please contact us at japaneats@heritageradionetwork.org or akikokotayama.com. Japaneats is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. And so thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, Food Radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.
Listening.